Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, just lift your hands to him right there. Just lift your hands. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We bless you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we're saved, God. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming us. Thank you for your precious blood. Thank you for your holy word. Hallelujah. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I feel his presence. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands up. Come on. Just worship him, man. You lift that hand up, you may touch an angel. Amen. Hallelujah. He's here right now. He is present right now. Thank you, Jesus, my God. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Boy, I feel him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just worship him. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Lord, we just love you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. 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 Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. For I will pour my spirit out upon him that is thirsty, says the Lord. Those that are seeking after me. For I say, my refreshing is near. Reach out. Receive it. Receive it. For I say, it's there for the asking. It's there for the asking. It's there for the asking. Oh, you have not because you ask not. Ask. 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 And see what I'll do. Just see what I'll do. Just see what I'll do. For yea, I say unto you, don't think that it cannot be done. Don't get settled in your way. But I say, ask and it shall be done. Get thirsty. Get hungry, for I will pour water upon him that is athirst. I say unto you, I will fill every hungering need, every hungering heart, pouring out my spirit. So where the enemy has said that it's dry and cracked, I'll send floods upon the dry ground. I'll revive and restore. I will revive and restore, says the Lord, to you. Ask, 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 Ask. Glory to God. I want us to stand up. Let's just stand up. Let's just ask Him. Just say, Lord, I want that. I want the rivers of water to be poured out on me. I want those rivers. I need that up on my physical body. I need it up on my mind, my mentality. I need the rivers of living water to flow out of my innermost being. Lord, we just receive that right now in the name of Jesus. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Jesus. We receive that right now. We receive it right now. Right now. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Thank You, Lord. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Lay hands on yourself where you're tired at. And say, Lord, I need refreshing right there. Amen. Lay hands on yourself. Do this right here. Look at me. Go. And lay hands on yourself. Amen. Lay hands and say, Father, I just right now thank You for that refreshing. You may fall out in the power. I mean, you know, you just never know what's going to happen. Amen. Receive that. Receive that in the name of Jesus. Receive it. Glory to God. Amen. You got to tap into it. Tap into the river. It's flowing. It's flowing. It's flowing. Amen. It's flowing. Hallelujah. It's flowing. You can be seated. I'll share this with you. A couple of years back, the Lord gave me a dream. And in the dream, I was like on top of a hill. And up under me, I could hear rivers running under the ground. And I could actually see beneath the earth, and beneath the earth there was like the 1940 automobiles and 1950 automobiles, and you could hear them clunking and bumping into each other, and it was just like the land was convulsing and moving like waves. And I feel like I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, what man has tried to cover and keep from being is going to burst loose and come forth. And I thought about the revivals in the 1940s and the 1950s and the 1960s, because that's what those automobiles were up under there in that river. Somebody say, in the river. I believe that God is getting ready to release His river across the nations of the earth. And I believe in America too, for everybody who wants it. And listen to me, there are Pentecostal denominations right now that do not want the Holy Ghost in their services. I could list them, but I'm not going to do it. And it's a shame. Somebody say, it's a shame. But God's going to blow the doors off and take what belongs to Him back in Jesus' name. Somebody say, amen. 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 The people that were fought and ridiculed and persecuted over this baptism of the Holy Ghost, you watch and see what God does. He's going to pour out His Spirit and take back what belongs to Him. Somebody say, amen. 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 And right after that, He gave me another dream, and I was in a forest. This is really interesting, and I can't share the depths of it. It's so deep, I had to go study it. And in the vision, I was in a forest, and was standing looking at a forest, excuse me. It had huge oak, massive oak trees, and lots of pine trees or fir trees, whatever you want to call them. And they were all big. And all of a sudden, a big wind came, and all the trees bowed, if you understand. They went forth. And when that happened, the oaks bent forward like that, but they came back up. Some of the pines snapped, and there was a few oaks that went down. And one of the things that I really feel like I got from that, it was that the Lord spoke to me, and He said, there are... we're like mighty oaks in the forest of God. This is what the scripture says. It's like a lot of men of God. I know Jerry Saville just went home to be with the Lord, and there are others that have gone home to be with the Lord. But I think that this is what He was talking about. This happened in 2018 when He gave me this dream. And that some of a lot of these people that have been the foundational things and have had deep roots and mighty oaks in the midst of the forest of God, as which we are going to be leaving and going home. And there are going to be others that stay. But this is the good thing about that. It's like the trees that were injured, one of the things that the Lord
drew me to was that, you know, to the forest. And he said, I'm going to cause the forest to flourish again. It's talking about the redeemed, talking about the church. And in the in a forest, this is really interesting because carbon-12 and carbon-14, and we know that, you know, the trees, you know, they suck in the carbon dioxide and they breathe out oxygen. That's why it's so horrible when people cut down forests. They don't understand what they're doing. I believe that's why a lot of sickness is around, is because we're cutting down the filters. Somebody say amen. But if they specifically injected, you know, carbon dioxide in one of the trees, trying to really hurt it. And so what they did is they watched, because the forests have nervous systems just like human beings do. And so what happened is that the fir tree that they injected this in, did this to, all the other trees in the forest started sending nutrients to it. Is this wild? And God said, that's the way the church is supposed to be and operate. If other trees will take care of a hurt tree, then we ought to take care of one another. That's what the Spirit of God is saying. Amen. And this is so marvelous and so powerful, because he also said like this. He said, you know, the weaker are to help, the stronger are to help the weaker. And so we need the mighty Holy Spirit in us, because that's our nervous system in the church. Amen. We need that fire. We need that nervous system. And that's what you see on the top of roots. If you see in the roots in the forest, it's like little white things. And what it is, just the nervous system. That's all it is. And so it's just very, very powerful when you think about that. But that's what the Lord was saying to me. And that was like I say, in 2018, you know, that I had both of those dreams around that time. And I believe that what you're going to see is, even though some have passed off, you're going to see others come on the scene. But also that those that have been dormant, everybody say been dormant, are getting ready to be infused of resurrection power. Somebody say amen. 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 All right. Now, let's see here. I want to read to you tonight. Let's go to the book of Timothy, where we were last week, and we're going to read this scripture. Well, I got a pile of scriptures, man. Say, I'm armed and dangerous. Amen. Armed and dangerous. Thank you, Lord. Let me get to the one I want. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. And Paul is speaking here. And listen, if we can get some light on you guys here. Somebody say, let there be light. Wrong one. Evidently somebody's going into darkness. So we hope not. Amen. Glory to God. I think I'm pushing the wrong number here is what I'm doing. Yes, I am. How's that? Let there be light. Whew. As somebody said, that's the glory. Amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come perilous times, difficult times. We talked about, from people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. And certainly this does describe the times that we're in right now. And remember that we talked about that spirit is in the very atmosphere. It's toxic in the world. Somebody say it's toxic. But I want to tell you, it's toxic in the church in many, many ways. He says there'll be heartless, unappeasable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Somebody say avoid them. Avoid them. For among them are those who creep into households, who capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And the Apostle Paul in verses 1 through 26, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 26, Paul was speaking of good soldiers. We touched on this last week. And I want to touch on this. I want to talk about this again tonight a little bit, talking about character and integrity. Everybody say character and integrity. Character and integrity. And so there are things that we need to do. So one of the things that Paul does when he's writing to Timothy, he gives an analogy about the importance of a clean life. Everybody say living clean. Clean living. Clean living is not where people see you. Clean living is in your house, where your television is, and the privacy of your home. Yes, we can live clean in here, but I'm talking about when you're by yourself or riding down the road, those kind of things, because that's where it counts. God is still God. Matter of fact, more so in secret than probably in public. He sees everything that we do. And it's important that we do not offend his presence. Amen. See, we're not to impress one another. We're to love on Jesus and try to become more like him. Somebody say amen. So Paul is writing him, and he gives him an analogy of living of the importance of living a clean life, and to view oneself as belonging to a special purpose given by God. See, we want the anointing to flow through us as individuals. And the old timers used to say it like this: holiness and power go together. Everybody say holiness and power. Holiness and power go together. Now, you know, we can talk about grace. People written books on grace. We talk about grace. We got mountains of grace, and thank God for grace. But I'm going to tell you, if we're going to have power, we got to have holiness. Amen. If we're going to have the blind see, the lame walk, the dumb talk, and devil scream and come out, and for our shadows to touch people and see them get delivered, we are going to have holy. Everybody say holy. Holy. How do I get that? By living close to Jesus. Amen. Staying in the Word. Amen. Amen. So he begins to give the analogy and begins to speak, about vessels in a house. Everybody say vessels in a house. Let's see. Yes. He says this: now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if any man cleanses himself from these, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now, flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him at his will. So he's talking here. See, we are not plates. Everybody say, I'm not a plate made of wood or mud. All right. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not a plate made of wood or mud. We're like plates of gold and silver meant to be honorable men. Amen. So Paul warns Timothy against lust, against idly talking, against things that lead to arguments, and he tells him not to get involved in that. He said rather he is to be an individual that's loving, and he's not only talking to Timothy, he's talking to you and me. Amen. So look at somebody and say, you are to love and be peaceful and patient and kind. Sounds like a fruit of the Spirit, doesn't it? You know, when I pray and I'm asking God, I want to move in the gifts or be touched by him, I say, Lord, I want the fruit first. I want the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Because if I don't have that fruit, I do not have character. Amen? So we're to have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, loving, peaceful, patient, and kind to the believers. And so he's telling him, he said, gently correcting those and guiding them to the truth. People that are messed up and maybe doing stuff that they're not supposed to do, going to them, rebuking them, trying to recover them and help them along. And so Paul begins to expound on the difference between faithful and unfaithful. Isn't it amazing how people can go to church all their lives and never get this? Faithful and unfaithful. Faithful and unfaithful servants. And so he uses the analogy and an example of dishes. Somebody say dishes. So he says, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware. So this tells us, when he's talking to him, that this house is one of means. In other words, it's a great house. It's one of means. And so the gold and the silver vessels are used for special occasions. Now, this is talking about how God works in the church, all right? So these vessels are used for honor. The silver and the gold vessels are used for honor. The earthen vessels are for everyday use. Amen? I know that you ladies, you know, when you got somebody coming over, you usually get your best china out, right? China. You get your best china out. Silverware and so forth to use because you have guests coming in. Somebody say amen. And so the earthen vessels are for everyday use. I mean, we have stuff at our house that we use every day. That way, if it gets broke, it's not a big deal. If you break one of those china plates, you're in trouble. Amen. Amen. So think about this. If a guest comes to the house, what do you do? Well, you would serve that guest with gold and silver vessels, right? You would serve that guest of silver and gold vessels, which would honor the guest, because you want to make them feel good. Say, my God, man, they brought their best out, their best silver, their best gold, their best goblets, their best spoons, their best forks. They brought all the best stuff out. Now think about this. If a guest is served with vessels of wood and earthenware, guess what? It shows dishonor to them. Are you listening? Shows dishonor. So Paul is making an analogy with believers choosing what sort of vessel that they want to be. I want to ask you a question. Do you want to be an earthen vessel, or do you want to be a gold and silver vessel for Jesus? Amen. I want to be the best vessel that I can possibly be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So do you want to be a vessel that honors, or do you want to be a vessel that dishonors? Remember last week we were talking about character. We were talking about the way that we live. You know, we should live godly lives, sober lives, holy lives. Somebody say, yes, we should. Amen. And so that we don't want to do anything to dishonor the master. So the question is, what vessel do we desire to be? Wood or gold? Silver. What vessel do you desire to be? So Paul asserts, if anyone cleanses himself from these things. Now listen. So he says, if you cleanse yourself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. So these things now that Paul is talking about, and he desires for his readers to be cleansed of, listen to what he says. He refers back to the things that he's exhorted to Timothy. Number one, he says, don't you wrangle about words. Don't get caught up in that stuff. I meet people all the time, say they got somebody at work that's asking them stupid questions. I say, well, just turn around, walk off. Answer a fool according to his folly. Amen. Avoid it. Somebody say avoid it. Avoid worldly and empty chatter. Amen. Because it leads to further ungodliness, doesn't it? You get to joking with somebody and jesting with somebody, you get to carrying on with somebody, the next thing you know, you're off color. Something's coming out of your mouth that's not right. Amen. God wants your tongue speaking the right things, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Somebody say amen. He does. And then he says to him, to Timothy, and abstain from wickedness. Abstain from wickedness. He said, you have to do these things. You got to do these things, Timothy. You got to avoid such things, because they're what brings you to a vessel of wood. Amen. So you think about this. If you're working in the world and you're ministering to people, or you're ministering in church, and you want to make sure that you're a gold or silver vessel. Somebody say amen. Sanctified and meet for the master's use. Yes. How many have ever been to a restaurant and got a dirty plate? What'd you do with it? How many have ever got a dirty fork? The dirty spoon. What'd you do with it? Send it back. Amen. It's repulsive. That when you get a plate that's dirty, or a spoon that's dirty, or you pick up a glass and look at it and it's got fingerprints all over it and they poured your tea in it. I mean, doesn't that turn your stomach? See, I think that's how the world feels. And listen, when it comes to holiness and power and the moving of the Spirit of God, you know, if we got spots all over our lives and if we're dirty, it's repulsive. Amen. It's repulsive to the Holy Spirit. I think it grieves him. And I think God is telling us, he said, you got to sanctify yourself. You got to purge yourself. You got to cleanse yourself. Somebody say, cleanse yourself. Cleanse yourself. Avoid those things. Be sanctified. Everybody say sanctified. What does sanctified mean? Set apart. Amen. Set apart for the master's use. Set apart. Useful to his work. Now think about this. If you're in a situation or in a place where there's an opportunity to reach people and touch people's lives and minister to people, but you've done things and lived a life that you're a wood vessel, they know who you are. It's like hypocrisy. You're unclean. They look at you, they have no confidence in you. It's like you want to give them something, but you're not able to. You understand? You understand? So it's important for me to be clean. Somebody say, be clean. Be clean. If you serve a dirty plate or a dirty fork or a dirty glass, you can make somebody sick. Amen? You can. So the master with the large house in this illustration is God. Somebody say it's God. So God will fill up his vessels that are gold and silver with Holy Ghost and fire and power. Somebody say in power as he sees fit. And he serves us. Does that sound good? I want to be used. Somebody say, I want to be used. But I want to be clean. I want to be clean. So if we are set apart and sanctified, emptying ourselves, like Paul is talking to Timothy and writing here in the scripture, cleanse ourselves from wickedness and from unclean things and things that dishonor God, you know, that we will come to the place where we can be vessels of silver and vessels of gold. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I wonder how many people have gotten sick by eating off of dirty dishes. Somebody say, I want the dishes in this house to be clean. I want every goblet to be clean. Every plate to be clean. I'm not talking about eating it clean. I'm talking about you being clean. Say, be clean. Be clean. So there are believers who are useful to the master. Now think about it. Believers that are useful to the master, and then there are believers that are not. Amen. You're saying, God, why don't you use me? And it's, you think about this because, number one, you pray, God, use me, but you won't discipline yourself where television's concerned. You won't discipline yourself because you listen to a bunch of garbage where music's concerned. You won't discipline yourself because you hang around the wrong people and you listen to garbage all day long. What in the world would you be giving out? It's important for me to be clean. Amen. It's important for me to be clean. It's just like if I were up here and I was watching porn and I was out cursing and I was living like a devil, you know, the last thing that you'd want for me to do is lay hands on you and pray for you. But unknowingly, you could come down and I could deposit filth into your life. Amen. I'm reminded one time of a man of God whom a certain person laid hands on him and they had an unclean spirit in them. And that unclean spirit got in them and defiled their life. And that person began to have filthy dreams. They began to think filthy thoughts. They began to wrestle with all kinds of stuff that they'd never wrestled with before. And so this individual, you know, flowed in the Holy Ghost, was anointed, and God used him very, very powerfully. And he came to people and said, look, I need for you to pray for me. He said, man, I got something on me that got deposited in me. And, you know, somebody laid hands on me and touched me. And he said, I need you to pray for me and cast this thing off out of me, off of me, and get rid of it. Agree with me in prayer. And they laughed. They said, oh, man, you know, not you. See, we're all can be susceptible to picking up something that's dirty. Amen? So number one, beware of who lays hands on you. I would say beware of, you know, if you got people praying for you, it's just like a witch up here praying and casting spells. It will be no different if they're praying something out of the soul. Amen. See, I want to know the people that are laying hands on me and are praying over me. I want to know, number one, Jack, are you clean? Are you sanctified? Are you living godly, righteously, soberly in this present world? Somebody say amen. And so when we live sanctified lives, we become vessels of gold, vessels of silver, where the anointing and the presence and the power of God can flow through us. And one of the good things about that is that God can anoint us to pray powerfully. Amen? Somebody say hallelujah. He can anoint us to do great things. And so now, If you just sit down, I mean, listen to me. Here I am in ministry, been here for 40 years, but in life, at this particular time, I have had the Lord to go through my life. Listen, and I live good. I think I live really good. I mean, seriously. But I've had the Lord to deal with me over just saying some things that a year ago or a year before that or a year before that. And I'm talking about just little programs you wouldn't think would be nothing wrong with. And the Lord dealt with me and said, I don't want you watching that no more. He said, because what I'm getting ready to do through you is going to require you to discard it. And you know what? I didn't have a problem to. I discarded it. Other things is when I'd get on Facebook or something like that, and I would, you know, maybe be looking at a car or maybe looking at some kind of equipment or something like that. And you know how people do. You get in there, you start surfing online. Next thing you know, you're 2 hours in.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, man, I got to get that. You become addicted. And all of a sudden, you spend more time with that than you are Jesus. That's idolatry. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? And so the Lord said, get off your HSN, get off your QVC, get off your, you know, get off your car networks, get off your tool networks, get off your stuff, you know, get in the Word. Amen. See, they may not be sin within themselves, but it is a place that you give them. See, I'm just telling you, say, God's saying, for what I want to do through you, I am requiring that you set yourself apart for me. Give me that time. Read a book. Pray. Unplug from it. Amen. And I made several decisions. He said, when the Lord spoke to me like that, I cut it off like cutting cold water off. That's it. Another thing, I cut it off like cold water. It wasn't sin. It was just something that God said, it's a weight to you. It's a weight. And he said, what I'm getting ready to do is going to require you to be able to move instantly. You don't want anything plugging up that golden pipe. Somebody say amen. And see, these things are important because I'm praying and pressing in. And, I've heard Brother Hughes saying the same thing. You know, I want these people to come out of these wheelchairs. I want a creative miracle for his leg. I want you to come out of that wheelchair. I want JW to come out of that and his kidneys to be healed and stuff like that. I'm praying for that. I'm believing God for it. And I know he works on both sides. But I do know that there are times when the power and presence of God can be so unstoppable that he just falls and does it. Because he's going to do what? Honor the vessel that's clean. Somebody say, be the vessel. Be the vessel. I don't want to be no wooden bowl. Do you? Somebody say, well, I like those wooden bowls. Well, get your fix on a wooden bowl. Give me a silver or gold goblet, plate, whatever. Amen. I get tickled. Deborah, she's got that nice china and she's got gold spoons and forks and knives and all that stuff, you know. And then Christmas time, she brings certain things out and then other times, and she's got china and all this stuff, you know, that she uses and brings it out special occasions. It is a special occasion when revival hits. It is a special occasion when people get healed. It is a special occasion when a leg that's bent gets straightened out. Amen. So we got to look for it. I'm praying for it. I'm expecting it to happen. I hope somebody screams, I got it. It's like a man was preaching in a service, and he was saying, God spoke the word. He said, trees, please, mountains, and all these things. And some guy jumped up and said, kidneys, please. And God created two new kidneys in him. Kidney, he went from kidney failure to brand new kidneys in that service. Amen. See, we have no idea. See, if the cleanness of the atmosphere and the cleanness of the vessels makes all the difference in the world. I don't know about you, but see, there's something special, man. If your shadow gets on somebody, they get healed. I said, there's something special. We ought to have enough light. We got any shadow here? Be straightened out. Command that leg to get straight in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. See, the thing about it, if God speaks to you, it's more than a thought, isn't it, Brother Hughes? He may tell you to get up and run. You say, I can't run. I got a bent leg. Hey, get up out of that wheelchair. I can't. No. When you hear that voice, do it. I don't care if you fall out on the floor and start crawling. Do something. Amen. See, when God speaks, that's it. That word's already released. Vessels of gold, vessels of silver that contain the anointing. Listen, you know what stops the flow of the Holy Ghost more than anything else? This thing. This thing. I mean, my God, on any given Sunday, I wonder how many people we kill before we get to church with that. Or even in the service. Or on the way back home. I mean, really think about this. Because this is what God deals with in Scripture over and over and over and over and over and over again. I'm going to let you in on something. Do you know one of the reasons that tongue gets out of control? It's because it comes through that television. We hear them. We hear it curse. We hear people say junk. We hear all kinds of stuff. We don't realize it. And then the world would just go, as you hear it. It's on the atmosphere. The atmosphere is toxic. It's out there. And then, you know, that's why I say, man, I just went the other day and got two big old 3x8x2 horse things about this high. Because that's what we're using to baptize people in this year. And so I got two of them. So we're going to get two lines. I said, everybody needs to be baptized. Right. What do you mean? There's garbage on you that needs to be washed off that you don't realize. So what does the scripture say? Even now doth baptism save us. It talks about deliverance. It's talking about washing stuff off of you in that water. Amen. So there's key to that. There's key to it. And so I went and bought two the other day. I said, hallelujah, we got a good one line going. Just jump in it and come up on the other side. Amen. So getting it like body surfing. Just dive in and come up and flop out on the other side. I want to be a vessel of gold, vessel of silver. Whatever it takes to be that, let's be it. That's what I'm saying. Won't that, we want where the Holy Ghost can just, he knows that he's welcome. He knows that you've done what he said. Amen. Amen. That if, you know, that we've repented of anything that we've said, anything that we thought, any action, any word, any deed. We're not trying to, you know, God, we want this. 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 With everything within us, we're moving toward it in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so, you know, the Apostle Paul is given this analogy. What a great analogy that it is. Because God uses clean vessels. I said, God uses clean vessels. And somebody, and I know I'm probably going to get a lot of thoughts on this right here. There have been men of God that have not lived right. They've been living in adultery. They've been homosexual. They've been all kinds of stuff. And you would look in their ministries, you think, you know, that they're getting miracles and people are getting touched and delivered and all this kind of stuff. Listen, they may be doing that, but that's not God's best. Because sooner or later, that sickness is going to manifest and it's going to come down because God will expose it in a person. Amen. He will. We've seen that back in the 80s, did we not? Amen. We've seen it back in the 80s. And You know, I would get in the fact that there's a lot of people that know that don't know the difference from soul power than the anointing. Because soul power is a very powerful thing, but it's not the anointing. We want to be a vessel of gold, a vessel of silver. Amen? Want to be. I desire that. I want that, Father. I want that. And so Paul is talking to Timothy. And so he continues his admonition, and he's urging him to remain pure from wickedness and remain faithful in his walk. Oh, God, that's important, especially in the hour that we're living in. Amen. I don't want to get into that. This is what he tells him. Flee youthful lust. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. And those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Paul wants Timothy to endure in being faithful. I mean, he said, endure hardness as a good soldier. Amen. And I know my time's about out. Well, see, this is important because, you know, enduring hardness is that, you know, when you begin to make steps forward and you make decisions, and sometimes you have to tell other believers, I don't do that. And they don't understand you, Peter said. Why don't you run in the same excess that we do? You can drink. You can go here. You can do that. It's God's grace covers it. Well, you know, God's grace will let you know, because God's grace is a teacher. Move up higher. Move up higher. Somebody say move up higher. That's what Paul said through Titus. The grace of God has appeared in all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously, godly, and soberly in this present world. Amen. So my goal is to be a pure vessel, a golden vessel for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So that he can use me the way that he wants to. How many want that? You want that? Amen. Amen. I do. Praise God. And so when you start making decisions to cut that stuff loose, some people will depart from being your friend. They will. Because the devil wants you to come back. He'll always take you back. He's always trying to get you to come back. And so that's why the power of a holy life cannot, it's just, dear God, it's so powerful. It's so powerful. And so it's important, you know, that we realize what's like the Lord spoke to me. He said, what I want to do through you requires of you, let this go, let that go, let that go. I have enough sense to know, you know, because of all my past life and stuff that I've cut loose down through the years and you know, just let it go. That's because God is saying to me, he said, you need a capacity to be a greater capacity to handle what I'm pouring into you. Amen. Yes. Amen. Oh, you know, so they say, y'all look so happy about that. Amen. And so we want to be vessels of gold and silver. Let the fire fall. Well, let's stand together. I'm done right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. God, you're good. Hallelujah. 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 Let's pray this prayer together. Say, Father, I'm asking you to sanctify me. Let the refining fire of your presence purge me from everything that's unlike you. Lord Jesus, show me everything that is offensive to you, that I may get rid of it, discard it. And Lord Jesus, I'm asking you, make me holy. Lord, make me holy. I thank you for your blood. I thank you for your word. And I thank you that you are constantly cleansing me, washing me, regenerating me with life and holiness in Jesus' name. I receive right now your power, your anointing, your cleanness upon my life. I am done with dirtiness. I'm done with darkness. I'm done with petty stuff that hinders me. I cast aside the weights and the sins that do so easily beset me. And I look to you, Jesus. I embrace you. And I thank you for that right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your touch, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now go burn for Jesus. Go burn for Jesus.